Outback falls into the special category as we welcome Maine's Chief Executive Kenneth M. Curtis to an in-studio and on-the-telephone discussion for those citizens wishing to join in the conversation. Good morning, my name is Norman Gallant. Out of deference to our guest of today and the office which he represents, our usual commercial messages for our sponsor, the Bates Manufacturing Company, will not be presented. The entire 25-minute period will be allocated to program conversation, with listeners invited to dial the familiar call-in number, which is 623-3878. You can call at any time during the broadcast, and we would be pleased to hear from you today. Governor, in checking out my records this morning, I find that the other appearance which you had on our talkback show was back on October 1st of 1965, and of course much has happened since that time. I was wondering, in getting our conversation off to a good start here this morning, if you can explain to us perhaps what the transition, was there much adjustment that was necessary for you to follow from the Secretary of State position to that of Governor for you and your family?
Well, I think that coming from any job to the office of Governor is a transition which is, I don't think it's ever really complete, because it's a type of job where there's just something completely different almost every day of the week. So I don't really expect to ever be fully implanted in the governor's office, and I think that's a good thing, because I think the office is designed in such a way that it belongs to no one man, and so it's a day-by-day proposition.
What you're saying here, in a sense, is that this is an experience all in itself. Not too many have this opportunity of going through this. You're learning something every day, aren't you?
That's correct, and of course today technology is changing so fast that problems occur much differently than they used to, because new things crop up daily now, where they used to crop up yearly.
We were at one time somewhat of a lazy state. You took things at its pace, but today things have speeded up considerably to that which they were in those days.
That's right. You know.
Well, I thought we might also discuss here what, in your consideration, are some of the biggest problems which we are currently facing here in the state of Maine. Also reminding our listeners at this point that the telephone lines are open. It's 623-3878 for any of you who wish to call in and speak with the governor.
Well, I'd say that our problems that we face today are really not too much different than they have been for probably the last 25, 30 years. And, namely, it's a question of we're trying to operate a very, very big state, a state that's twice the size of the other New England states put together, on a very, very limited and narrow tax base. We have a population of less than 1 million people. We're trying to maintain and build around 4,500 miles of roads, and we're trying to keep pace with our school systems and our welfare programs, and we're trying to do it on a limited amount of money. So it still boils down to the fact that we simply have to grow as a state, and we have to increase the industrial and economic development of our state. So again, our primary emphasis is in this area as being the best solution to meet the needs of the people. Now, we are, I think, laying a very good foundation in the area of economic development, again, due to the rapidly changing technology. We have many new companies that we're negotiating with based upon modern technology. The mining, for instance, Humble Oil Company, with a mining claim of 400,000 acres of land up in the Jackman area, has come about because of new exploration and new mining and refining techniques. We have a great deal of interest around Washington County because of the deep water that's available up there now to handle the new super tankers and the new super oil carriers that are being built. So it's this type of thing that's rapidly changing the whole picture of industrial development. So we're quite optimistic that we're going to cash in on some of the new technology.
You mentioned Washington County. Is this one of the sleepers in an area of the state that you anticipate that there may be a big breakthrough, and that the conditions which have been prevalent over the years will suddenly find themselves completely reversed?
Could very well be. I've been very encouraged by some of the interest that's been expressed by major companies in the Washington County area over the past year. As I say, there are a great many resources in Washington County, and the hope to really reversing the economic trend that has existed so long in the county is again the coming of new techniques, new industries, because I think it's evident to all we're certainly not going to solve the economic problems based upon the economy of the past, because it's just not possible. But we are very optimistic. Of course, at one time, if the Passamaquoddy Tidal Power Project had been built, This would have created a boom period for Washington County. It wasn't, but here again, we were on the threshold of great progress, and this was due to a resource that existed there. Now, mm-hmm. there are other such resources that that I think will be developed.
Mm-hmm. You know, in speaking to someone in DED several years ago, one of the things that they talked about was futuristic projections with regard to the state of Maine, conceivably a city which would be right in, smack in the middle geographically of the state, that this could do a tremendous amount for the economics of the state of Maine.
Well, there's no question that this would be true. However, I think for the foreseeable future that most of our economic growth is by necessity going to have to be centered around an area where we have some specific resource to build around. Now, these resources can take a great many forms. For instance, here in the Augusta area, certainly the growth in state government is a resource, and that the city enjoys a great deal of economic benefits from. And in Bangor now, the phasing out of the Air Force, which might be considered to be a disaster to some, to others, creates a resource. This mm-hmm. tremendous airfield with all of its facilities gives us something to build around. And in the greater Portland area, it's interesting to note, probably one of our greatest resources here is the fact of proximity to the growing markets to the south. And so that a lot of the satellite industries and that are moving out of the metropolitan areas find the greater Portland area very, very convenient to them. So, as I say, a resource isn't simply a type of ore or oil or something of this nature. It can take many, many forms, but there has to be something to be derived by industry in order to for us to have really a good product to sell.
And all of these things put together can make the overall picture a much more favorable type of situation.
Right, and I'd like to just take a moment, too, to mention something else that's happening in the Department of Economic Development, to develop a resource. And we consider that economic development depends a great deal upon the communities and what the communities do themselves to better themselves, the type of schools they build, the type of streets they build, the recreation facilities they have, whether they keep their community clean or not. All of these things are very, very strong factors in locating industry. So DED, I think, will in July be kicking off their community betterment program, which is a program to try to get to each individual community to in Maine to take a look at itself and what it has and compare itself to its neighboring community and try to, in a competitive sense, start a program for stronger community development.
Being analytical about that which you have. Huh?
That's right.
Right. Governor, we've got some telephone calls here, so let's get down to some business and so far as the citizens are concerned. Here we go. Here's a call.
Good morning. Good morning, Governor Curtis.
Yes, sir.
Sir, mine has nothing to do with the Blaine House, but it do have something to do with the State House cafeteria.
Right.
Will you please tell me, I noticed in the paper the contract awarded to some concern out of state. To me, as a citizen and men of the restaurant, Men Restaurant Association, I was hurt and disappointed because the contract that was awarded to a company outside besides state of Maine. Now, I understood recently, I heard you say you want 10,000 jobs of youth opportunities, you want to hire the handicapped, you want to hire the FGI. None of those people, including the Men Restaurant Association, that was good enough to award it. And anybody that was informed about the State House cafeteria, there was four bid. And will you please tell me how the government and the government council awarded that contract, please?
Well, I'm not sure who the bidders were. I know that over a year ago, the contract for the current person who was operating the concession at the cafeteria ran out. And I know that the state awarded two 6-month extension to the operator. And in the meantime, of course, the concession was put out to bid. Now, I don't know myself personally how many different companies did bid on the concession. I think it is unfortunate that many times when we do put things out to bid on the state basis, that they often and unfortunately go to firms outside of the state. However, we are in the business here in Maine of trying to give the best service we can to the taxpayers per dollar, and so I think we find that the only way that we can do it as a government is to use a competitive bidding system in order to try to provide the service for the taxpayers. And unfortunately, some people out of state underbid
people within our own state, which I think is unfortunate, again, because it would seem that people within the state could bid lower than those out of the state. But oftentimes this is not the case.
Yeah, that's right. But the way I read it in the paper, there was no other bids except the company they was awarded to. Now, to me, I think it's and there was not publication on the matter at all, and I think we should have found somebody ourselves in the state of Maine in here to run that. We collect the taxes. We support you financial and moral and every way we can. And now this is, to me, it was a shame, you know what I mean, for the citizens of the state of Maine and the Maine Restaurant Association.
No, I know this was handled through the Bureau of Purchasing, and as to how many bidders there were, as I say, I'm not familiar.
It was in the paper of government critters. There was one. No other bidder. There was the company from, I don't recall, it was Maryland or Ohio.
Well, I'm not familiar with why then other Maine firms didn't bid, because I'm sure it was well known, because the contract expired, as I say, over a year ago, and in order to give as much consideration as possible to the persons that had operated the concession for a number of years, I know the government council gave 2 6-month extensions just to simply many reasons, because frankly we liked the fellow that had been doing it. He was from Maine, and we certainly wanted to give him an opportunity to bid himself and to phase out if he wasn't going to bid. And as I understand, the person from Maine who operated it didn't wish to bid again, and decided to retire, and so didn't. And I'm at loss as to why Maine people didn't submit more.
Well, I don't think it was well informed. That's why.
Well, I'm not sure. I couldn't this morning tell you about the advertising that went on, but I'm sure it was publicized, because it's required by law to do so.
Sir, there was not another bid that was in, so I presume there was not informed at all.
Well, I can't be responsible for understanding.
Please don't take it that way.
But I'm sure that the thing was done in complete bidding accordance with many, many contracts. It's not unusual today, and it's very frightening to me as governor to find that on many bids that we're only getting one bidder, and this is certainly not good for the taxpayers if we can't get more competition for state contracts.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, bye.
Governor, we've got another call here. Here we go.
Good morning.
Good morning, Governor Curtis. We hear a lot about industrial development and so on. What is being done more about recreational development? I feel Maine's biggest asset is its people and its natural beauty.
Well, I think you're right. This is certainly one of our greatest assets. I think that as far as the state is concerned, that we don't try to say that Maine should be strictly a recreation state or Maine should be an industrial state. I rather hope that we take the view that we should develop all of the resources that we have, and that recreation development is important industry. So, of course, we have here in Maine the Maine Recreation Authority, which has been created to guarantee loans for recreation development. We devote a major segment of our effort within the Department of Economic Development to recreation development. In fact, we've been under some criticism over the years as a state because we spend so much more money advertising for recreation development than we do for industrial development. So I think it's been very well recognized that it is a very, very important asset. Now, as a state, we've been trying and working very hard to try to stimulate the further development of the ski industry so that we can develop a more four-season type of recreation atmosphere, and to offset some of the short seasons that we have. And we've been trying to look at our highway programs and other programs with an eye towards recreation development. So I think that you're going to see a great deal more development in the future in the recreation area, and I think you're going to see the state playing a bigger role than in the past.
Is there going to be a chance there may be a larger fine, an increase in the fines for littering?
Pardon me, I didn't quite
understand. Is there apt to be an increase in the fines for littering or for having junk cars on the side of the road and this type of...
Well, I don't know of any move to increase the fines for littering. I do know this, that due to the efforts of the Keep Maine Scenic Committee, that over the past 2 or 3 years that we have reduced quite drastically the cost of cleaning up litter and highways. So I think there's a slight amount of progress being made here to educate the public not to litter, and it's being reflected again in decreased costs in cleanup. And I feel very sure that this fall that there will be legislation being prepared for greater billboard control on our highways. And I do note that many communities on the auto junk cars are taking much more direct action themselves in trying to remove the cars from our highways. And again, as I mentioned earlier in the program, that we see this as being a very, very important factor in the community betterment program that we envision, because if we could somehow develop a spirit among every citizen to, if he has a junk car, rather than leaving on his front yard, haul it out back or take it to a dump or have it disposed of, or not to litter his own property, then we can come a long ways in cleaning up. And I was greatly impressed in a recent trip that I took to South Dakota, which is a very, very rural state. And the cleanliness of the state, you just didn't see junk cars, and you didn't see yards in disrepair. And I can only conclude that that this is largely a result of great pride among the citizens of the state. And I think this is what we're trying to develop through the Community Betterment Program, is greater pride among the citizens. And if we can do this, we can do much more than we can simply through laws.
I hope so. I was born and brought up in Maine, and I think it's the best state in the Union.
It's the most beautiful. I certainly agree with you there.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
Our telephone number is 623-3878. Our program this morning in the special category, Maine's Governor Kenneth M. Curtis on the program. Our talkback brought to you by the Bates Manufacturing Company. The usual commercial messages have been deleted from this morning's program in deference to our guest in the office which he represents. We have another call, and let me repeat the number, 623-3878. Governor?
Sir, good morning.
Good morning. We in Augusta are trying to pass a zoning ordinance this year. And in the past, it's been defeated because of a small minority of people who have been very vocal in spreading some misinformation. Could you tell us if you think it would do us good in Augusta to have zoning?
I think every community should have zoning, quite frankly. And I think that in many instances, the public develops fears which are not too greatly founded about what zoning will do to them. I would hope that in more communities, zoning could be presented on the basis of not what it's going to do to people, but what it's going to do for people. I think here in Augusta is a fine old city that is becoming dilapidated in a few areas, very, very similar to many other cities within the state. And really, to reverse this is not a matter of great expense, and I don't think a matter of great hardship. It's a matter of really citizens' participation and the passage of laws and ordinances that would permit this to be done. And I think that when this type of action is taken, that every citizen benefits, because you have a community that's more attractive to industry, you have a community that's more livable, and you certainly just bring in more people, you bring in more business, and everybody's economic status is upgraded. But zoning is a very difficult type of thing to get passed in many communities of the state, because it does affect, from the immediate future, a few people who at least feel it affects them adversely, and so therefore you get opposition. But I'd just like to say to the citizens of Augusta that they're not alone in this battle. This is one that's got to be won in a great, great many areas of the state. In fact, it's one that's really got to be won also in our rural areas, because we have, in our state, we still have no zoning for wildlands. And we have many, many lakes up in the northern part of the state which are virtually uninhabited and have not been developed as yet. And with proper zoning, we can preserve some for strictly scenic type of uses for the future. We can zone some for commercial uses, but in short, we can plan our state and utilize our resources that we have left in the best manner through some form of zoning. So I just feel that it has to come in time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our telephone number is 623-3878 for those wishing to join us in conversation. Governor Kenneth Curtis is our guest of the morning. Governor, the expressed concern over the financial crisis existing in the state of Maine. Exactly where do we stand in that particular situation at this moment?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say that I don't think that we should refer to it as financial crisis.
I think some have referred to it as such.
Yes, a few have, but there's certainly no crisis at all. And
We had to run the risk here for the last several months of possibly running an operating deficit for this fiscal year. I think that now, with 1 month left to go to report the month of June, that we're very, very optimistic that there will, in fact, be no operating deficit. We have, as of 11 months, we had estimates of revenues of $103 million, and our actual estimates were around $102 million. So we've run a cumulative an estimated deficit of $1.4 million. But during this interim, we have instituted economy moves whereby we've cut state spending by about $2.5 million without curtailing any state services. So we're in the position now where we've got about $1 million cushion for this month of June. There's no question that business has fallen off all over the country. I think the high interest rates and tight money have slowed growth. I've talked to some of my neighboring governors, and they're all experiencing this loss in estimated revenues. But I think that through the saving we've instituted, we're certainly going to balance the budget this fiscal year. But even if we didn't, it's no crisis, because the law only requires that we balance the budget on a biennial basis, and this is only the first year of the biennium.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature still insists that we don't have annual sessions. So they must still insist that we stay on a biennial basis. So I'd say that we're not really shouldn't even be concerned until the end of the next fiscal year. But on the other hand, talking about a financial crisis, we're only talking about the general fund, which is only a portion of the state's mm-hmm. monies. We have a highway fund, we have other dedicated funds, other sources, and on a cash wise basis. Our state is very, very solid. In fact, all you have to do is compare our credit rating with other states. We're AAA here, and we have nothing mm-hmm. to worry about at all.
You had ordered or asked at least department heads to make some cutbacks in their operation. Does this mean that we will get back into the normal flow and some of the business that may have been interrupted will be back in the normal flow of business as this thing comes to pass?
Well, we'll be back in the normal flow by July 1st, but I'm not saying that even if we're running ahead of estimates that we haven't learned a pretty good lesson here in this fiscal year, because, as I say, voluntarily we have had the state departments institute savings of $2.5 million, and to my knowledge, no one has suffered a bit. So if we were running $10 million ahead next fiscal year, I'm not so sure that halfway through the year I wouldn't have our budget office take a good hard look at what the state departments mm-hmm. are doing, and if there's a little money laying around there, I think perhaps we would give it back to taxpayers rather than buy extra typewriters and things.
Great. We've got some more telephone calls here. Here we go.
Good morning.
Good morning. Governor Curtis?
Yes, sir.
I'm a veteran. I'd like to find out what has been done about that piece of land that was bought for the cemetery.
Well, let's see. I'm trying to recollect. I think that the Veterans Affairs has hired someone to design a cemetery out there. At least if they haven't hired the firm, they're in the process of doing so, and I'm inclined to believe that they have already hired someone. So they're progressing toward the final planning, and I would expect the summer construction will start on the Veterans Cemetery.
Is there any thought then, someone told me that someone else was bidding for that land. Is it the state bought the land, or government bought that land, or is it still up for bid?
No, according to my understanding, this land will very definitely be utilized for the, as planned, be utilized for the Veterans Cemetery. I think you might be thinking possibly about this. There's been a lot of speculation as to where the University of Maine in Augusta will be located, and there's been some speculation as to sites out in the general area. But to my knowledge, that there's no danger whatsoever of relocating the Veterans Cemetery, that this is... There's a great deal of time and effort been spent in studying that location prior to the submission of legislation, and it was found apparently by all concerned to be the most suitable.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling.
Governor, we've got another call here. I'm going to ask the person to hang on to the line, and the governor will converse with them immediately after the broadcast. We have come to the end of our time. I certainly want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know that it is sometimes difficult to plan these things. This has been something we've waited for a long while. It finally came to materialize this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Norm. I certainly appreciate the chance to get together with you, and I might apologize for not doing it more often. I guess perhaps this summer we find a little bit more time to get away from the office than when the legislature is in session.
Well, good. Maybe we can do it again. Huh?
Thank you.
Very good. Tomorrow we'll be back with another talk back presented by the Bates Manufacturing Company. At that time, Mr. Peter N. Kairos, candidate for the office of Congress, the incumbent from the 1st District of Maine, will be our guest. That's tomorrow on Talk Back. This is your main attraction. WFAU.